Well, you know, after I had planned that after New Life, where girls shared their testimonies and did the singing that they normally do, that I would come up and share a testimony about what happened when I went down to North Carolina. So I went ahead and arranged it all in a little kind of structured form and had my notes all laid out and put it in my music book. And as I was walking out the door, Missy couldn't find her shoes, so I figured I'd go in and help her, and I laid my guitar and my book on the porch. As I came back out, I grabbed my guitar and left all my notes and my music book and everything laying on the porch. So again, you know, we serve a sovereign God, and I'm just going to trust Him, you know, to do what He wants to do. They didn't have laptops or PowerPoint, you know, back in the days of the apostles, so I'm going to trust that He can work, you know, even without those aids. Praise God. I got to say, first of all, that party that you guys threw, and I've lost track of time, that was Wednesday, I believe. I was so touched by that and so moved by that. Thank you from the depths of my soul. Thank you so much for that affection and love that was poured out Wednesday night, and for all the wonderful gifts and the cards and just the encouragements. You know, earlier this year I thought about turning 50 and I was like, man, I'm getting old, man. But so many people have been so encouraging. You know what? I sincerely believe that God has a purpose for each stage of our life, and that He wants us to embrace it passionately. You know, in fact, it's amazing, you know, how there's so many products out there to take the gray out of our hair. And I don't want to, you know, diss anybody who does that. I've thought about it myself, getting some stuff, you know, for my beard and stuff. But you know, the Bible actually says that the gray head or the silver-haired person, that silver hair is a sign of honor. Because it reflects the wisdom that we have earned so hard in this life. Wisdom does not often come easy. It often comes with a price. So when you get that wisdom, man, be proud. Display that silver hair because you have earned it, brother. Oh, man. Praise God. But thank you, and I want to open by saying we had a wonderful time. It was truly glorious. There was just so many good things. But I just want to kind of set the tone here, if I can. And I don't have all my Bible references. I didn't, you know, note this out in detail, and I wasn't planning on saying this. But back in the Old Testament, when Manasseh was king, he led the people into all kinds of idolatry and sin. And the Bible says that there was much innocent blood shed in the land. And God was on the verge of bringing judgment upon them and chastening upon them for that. But then Josiah became king after Manasseh, and Josiah instituted a lot of reform. They tore down a lot of the idols and things like that. And God stayed His hand. But when Josiah left the scene, the one that followed him went right back into the old patterns, and so there was nothing to stay that judgment anymore. And all of the wrath that had been accumulated prior to that time was poured out. And I believe it was at that point, around that point, that they got carried away into Babylon. That my point is this. We cry out for revival. We want God to pour out His Spirit. And we say, God, we're hungry. Please send Your Spirit. And it's wonderful, all the nice things that happen when revival comes. But let me say this. When there has been much innocent blood shed in the land, the ground is cursed because of the innocent blood. And that blood cries out from the ground. And although revival may delay what's coming down the road, it's not sufficient to cleanse the land, as it were. And God judges the nations. Yes, a person can be saved and have all his sins washed in the blood of the Lamb and be pure and holy and righteous before God by grace through faith. But God judges the nations, and with all the innocent blood that's been shed in the land, I just sense the Spirit saying that we want to cry out for God to delay His hand and the wrath that's coming for our children's sake. But there has been much innocent blood shed in this land. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that revival is not some nicety that we're crying out for to enhance our church services. Revival is not something so that we can get all puffed up and say, oh, look how spiritual we must be because God is moving. Revival is not something because we're getting bored with our Christianity and we need a little shot in the arm to keep us interested in God. Revival is like CPR on a person who's about to die. If revival doesn't come, judgment follows swiftly on its heels, especially when there's been this much innocent blood poured out in this land. And so when we call out to God for revival, we're not calling out, God, give us a nice little present to make us feel warm and fuzzy. We're saying, God, have mercy on this nation because judgment is deserved. Judgment is coming. And we want for our sake and for our children's sake that they might have the opportunity to know God in His goodness and in His richness. And I don't mean that in a condemning way, just that we need to discern the times, as Jesus said. So I've shared with many of you the dream that God gave me about this invasion that had taken place before people even was aware there was danger involved. It had already happened and the damage was already done. It was amazing. In the midst of this revival we went to in North Carolina, we got there Thursday. I went that night. Friday we went to the Friday morning service, and we had the afternoon to kill, and we didn't know what to do, and the movie theater was there. So we said, well, let's go to a movie. We wanted to see this thing by M. Night Shyamalan, however you say it, called The Happening. And although, you know, although I don't hold that out as the gospel, is interesting because the theme of the movie was judgment taking place. It happened from the opening frame of the movie. It had already started taking place before the people were even aware there was a danger. And the end of the movie basically said that was a warning that people need to wake up. And it was a violent movie, and I'm not into violent movies, and he's never had that type of violence in a movie before. And I was actually repenting before the Lord and saying, Father, forgive me for, you know, allowing my eyes to watch this thing. I wasn't aware. But afterwards, in fact, late last night, he said, you know, you don't think that could happen here? I mean, not in the way the movie brought, but you don't think that we couldn't see? We're so sheltered here. We don't, you know, we don't see the kind of violence that people live with every day in other countries. We're not praying with bated breath as we drive to church that someone is not going to machine gun us or stop our car along the road and somebody find it without any people in it because they've taken us away. But that is a living reality to much of the world. And we're fools if we don't value what we have and don't cry out to God for what could happen in our country based on what we deserve. So let me just, I didn't mean to get all doom and gloom here, but I wanted to set the tone. When we talk about revival, this is not just some, you know, pie in the sky, nice, you know, pastry and tea. This is a cry for help. And this is CPR, as it were. So anyway, praise God. I thank the church for sending us down there. Many of you, how many people have not heard of the Lakeland Healing Revival going on? Okay, how many people have not heard of Todd Bentley? Down in Florida, in Lakeland, there's been this amazing outpouring of the Holy Spirit with many miracles and healings and, you know, people raised from death or near death, people healed of tumors and burns and debilitating diseases and all kinds of things. And I'd wanted to go, and we've been talking about this for weeks, the nature of revival and things like that, and what are some of the signs that accompany revival, and I've been wanting to go down there to check it out firsthand, but it was a little bit just, you know, undoable. Then I found out that Todd Bentley, the guy who's sort of leading this, that God is working through, was coming to North Carolina, to Charlotte. So I asked the elders, and they said, sure, go on down, we'll help underwrite the cost, and, you know, we were going to drive 8 hours to get there, and he said, well, just take a plane, you know, you'll be there in an hour and a half. So it was so gracious, and I was so grateful for that opportunity. Thank you guys very much for sending Missy and I down there. God blessed us tremendously. When we went, you know, we just got, you know, whatever seats we could get, the cheapest and the quickest to get down there. As it turned out, the Lord was so gracious, He blessed us so that on our flight down and on our flight back, They put us in first class seats. I have never flown first class before. To me, it was like, first class, you know, what do you spend all that money for? It's ridiculous, and, you know, stuff like that. But they had overbooked the flight. They had some people, you know, getting out of line, you know, to take a different deal, and they had nowhere else to put us, so they put us in first class on both flights. Now, God had a purpose in that, which I'll get to later. It was amazing, the purpose that the Lord had for that. But, I mean, it blessed us. I didn't even realize that's what it was. They, you know, we sat down in our assigned seat, and I was like, wow, man, this is kind of roomy. You know, I'm not used to this. And it wasn't until we were, you know, already in the air that I looked behind me, and I saw the curtain behind me. I was like, oh, we're in first class. So, you know, the first class Diet Pepsi they gave me, you know, was, you know,
it tasted better.
Yeah, the two cookies I got were like, you know, Pepperidge Farm, man. Hey. The other guys were just getting Oreos, I'm sure. But God had a purpose, and I'll get to that later on. But he so graciously blessed us. And, you know, there's things that God does that have his signature on it that are just so tender and so kind. He knows us so well. I mean, he loves us individually. He doesn't just say, well, you know, I love y'all. Yeah, you're a great group of people. He loves Heather Largen individually. He loves Evan individually. He loves Heather and Bill individually.